Wow, what a great start to our gathering today. My name is Blake. I'm your host today. So I want to welcome everybody. Thanks for joining us. It's wonderful to be together and to feel the spirit in the room. Today's a special day, actually, for our Chinese brothers and sisters. So for them, I'd like to say, Xinyan Kuai Le. For the newcomers that are with us today, we're delighted to have you join us. Really hope that you will feel welcome and enjoy the day and connect with the rest of the members here. For the regulars, welcome home. Always great to have you here. And please extend that warm church in Toronto welcome to our new guests that are sitting amongst you. I also just want to take a moment to thank the many, many people that serve to make the church in Toronto what it is. From parking to greeting, from cafe to musicians, from musicians to the money and the business of the church, from the Sunday school to the youth groups, to the teachers and to the leaders, formal and informal. So many people put so much time and effort and make this such a special place. So thank you to everybody that makes Church in Toronto what it is. CIT really values community groups. We have home groups that meet across the GTA in different locations. We really encourage people to take advantage of those opportunities, get involved in a community group, build deeper connections, build friendships, and most importantly, be there to receive support and give support when you need it. My wife Lisa and I, like most people in the world, go through ups and downs. We've had challenges thrown at each of us at different times. And in both of our situations, community groups really made a difference to be there to support us and help us through. Our daughter Kaylee, involved in the youth group here for many, many years, not a day goes by that we don't count our blessings about that in her life. So important. If you want to get involved in a youth group or a community group, the Connect card, there are people that have these lanyards on. See any one of those individuals or myself after, and we can get you connected into the right group. Giving. There's three ways to give at Church in Toronto. There's a giving box in the hallway just outside the rear doors. You can do it online, which is very simple. And the easiest way of all, text to give at 84321. If you're new, don't feel obliged to give. We're just happy that you're here and joining us today. We're going to continue our Messiah series in Matthew. I'd like to welcome our teaching pastor, Ian Brinksman, to lead us into God's Word.
Good morning. Good morning. I don't even want to try to do Happy New Year in Chinese because that would be really bad. And I'd probably say something I would regret later. So I'll just say Happy New Year. But I also learned it's not just Chinese New Year, right? This is actually the Lunar New Year because we have Koreans also and other people who are celebrating. So whatever background you come from, Happy New Year. Always good to have new beginnings. Take it as that. Don't just take it as a festival. Take it as a time we can start fresh with God. So we are going to continue on in our Messiah series, Book of Matthew. I'm going to ask Roy to come on up because he is going to... Wow, look at those pictures.
This is for your sake, so that I don't use 1,000 words to explain all of it. Just very simply, the picture on your left, hopefully you can tell which one of us is Roy. You know, that was the way it was. I won't tell you when that was. 13 days after Jennifer became a believer in Christ.
Wow.
We were married. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. Not that marriage is easy, but it's easier if you both have faith in Christ.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. This was our 40th anniversary.
Wow.
We changed a little bit, right? Made it. Hallelujah. And then this is Jennifer and Roy Plus.
Aww.
So some you know on the right hand, Joshua and Alicia, and then us Jesse in the middle, the tallest in our family now, Ryan, and his significant other, Donna.
Yeah, so, all right.
Two carpenters and an engineer musician. Oh, sorry, and I don't know, three language administrator.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a way to describe it, Casey? I don't know how you describe it. Oh, and a photographer. So there we
yeah.
go. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Matthew 4, 12. Jesus begins his ministry. Now, when he had heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum by the sea in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way by the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Amen. Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. And he went throughout all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, those having seizures and paralytics, and he healed them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis and from Jerusalem and Judea and from beyond the Jordan.
Amen. All right.
The title of our message this morning is Calling All Disciples. Hang in there, we'll get you clear on that in a little while. You might be familiar with this proverb. It's not a proverb from the Bible, but it is a proverb nevertheless. Give a man a fish and you feed him for a day. Teach a man to fish and you feed him for a lifetime. You're familiar with that? Right. So the basic thought behind it is teach someone to do what you do, and they can do what you do. And you don't obviously have to keep doing it for them. And so the one thing that we want to get out right at the beginning, when we're talking about discipleship, we're talking about Jesus and his relationship with his disciples. Know this, Jesus was not interested in doing everything by himself. He called other people, males, females, to join him in his ministry. And this morning, as we're looking at this call of discipleship, we're looking specifically how he calls disciples and how they follow him. So let's go back to these verses. Jesus, his ministry is now beginning. Remember last week we saw the baptism of Jesus, and now you've got this beginning of his ministry, and you can see here just a number of things as he's starting out his ministry. First of all, he is in the very northern part of Israel. Regina, if you could put up that map for me. So that's Galilee. So you're going to hear a lot about Galilee as we go through Matthew. And this is not just called Galilee, it's also called Galilee of the Gentiles. Because if you look on the west side and the north side and on the east side, it was surrounded by Gentiles. And so there was a big kind of mixing pot in that area of Jews and Gentiles. And remember, in those days, Jews, Gentiles, they did not get along. So this is the area that Jesus begins his ministry, not down south in the, you know, in the religious center in Jerusalem. He doesn't go there. He's right up in the northern part. If we go back to the verses, Regina, it says here, He leaves Nazareth and he goes to this place called Capernaum, and that's going to be his home base for the next number of years as he's doing his ministry. And Matthew is helping us to see that him ministering, him working in this place is a fulfillment of prophecy. We've seen this from the very beginning of Matthew, chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3. We see this prophecy is being fulfilled. And here it says, the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, those are two tribes of Israel. The way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. And here it begins to describe what is going on in that place. The people are dwelling in darkness. And I want you to know, this darkness is not the physical kind of darkness, but this is a darkness of spirit. This is a spiritual darkness. This is psychological darkness. This is physical pain and suffering. This is social darkness. There's a thick blanket of darkness that is hovering over or laying on top of this area. Jesus does not go to Jerusalem where all the religious people are. Jesus goes right to the densest part of the darkness. And he begins to minister to people in great need. And I love this whole thought because here you see, okay, what does darkness need? Darkness needs light. And that light, that great light that Jesus is a real hope to the people who are there. One of the other things that we notice as well, if we can skip to the latter part of the verses, Regina, look at how his ministry begins. Next one, Regina. He's basically in this area and his fame is going everywhere. Look at this. He's proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease. Okay, if you knew there was somebody in your area around you who was helping people with their physical ailments, what would you do if you knew somebody who had some issues? You would go over, you would take them over there. And this is exactly what was happening. So he's healing every disease. He's proclaiming the gospel, and people are coming from all over. People who, you know, they're having seizures and paralytics, and they're oppressed by demons. And what is Jesus doing? He's bringing hope to those people. They are in absolute darkness, and he's bringing light into their lives. Of course, his message is simple. Same message as John the Baptist. Repent. For the kingdom of heaven has come. And, you know, for those of you who haven't been with us, that just means God's rule, heaven's rule, is coming to this earth. What has happened as human beings have been in control of this kingdom of the world? Seizures, demon possession, brokenness, injuries of all kinds. And Jesus is there saying, it's time for a change. God's kingdom is here. God's kingdom is here, and things are going to be different. And of course, there's two other elements. So there's the preaching of that message, repent, for the kingdom is at hand or is drawn near. His teaching is also going to be important. And so what we're going to start next week is the first of five blocks of teaching in the book of Matthew. Very specific teachings that Matthew has for us. If we're going to be kingdom people, if we're going to be a people who are following Jesus, we need to know the proper way to live. Amen? Amen. Yeah, because the world that we are in is pretty messed up. And the people around us are pretty messed up, and we need that kind of help. And so what is that teaching going to do? It's going to help to adjust our thinking, our actions, and our motives. And you're going to see a lot of healing coming up as well. So these three elements, preaching, teaching, healing, are there. So one thing that you probably notice in that latter section is His fame grew, and great crowds followed him. But Jesus isn't interested in a movement. Jesus is interested in having committed followers of him to do what he does. Jesus knows he's not going to be here forever and ever. Somehow, this wonderful message of the kingdom, wonderful message of hope, has got to go beyond him. And that's what we're going to see this morning. So let's go back to chapter 4, verses 18 through 22. We're gonna sit here for the rest of the morning. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Actually, it's men and women. The ESV didn't add the women. Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately, they left the boat and their father, and they followed him. So Jesus calls his first disciples, four men he approached. I want to say something quite shocking to you. Whether it shocks you or not depends on how long you've been a Christian, but Jesus did not come to make Christians. Jesus Christ did not come to this earth to make Christians. Jesus Christ came to this earth to make disciples. I challenge you. Find out how many times in the New Testament the word disciple is there and how many times the word Christian is there. You'll be shocked. Jesus Christ came to make disciples, followers of him, people who would do what he does, people who teach what he teaches, people whose lives are affected by him. You know, most of us, we feel like, you know, as long as I'm a Christian, that's okay. Well, that statement I just made should shock you, because Jesus is not okay with you just being a Christian. There's more to the Christian life than just getting saved. Some people would say this, is Jesus your Savior? What would your answer be? Is Jesus your Lord? Yes. And there's a difference. A lot of people have Jesus as their Savior, and they get all the benefits of it and everything else, but Jesus didn't just come for you to get saved alone. He wants you to be his disciple. And that's challenging. And you're gonna see as we go through the rest of this book, he's like, oh my goodness, am I up for this? It's a really, really good challenge to us. Okay, so what we want to do, why we feel like this message is so important for you is because if you were here at the beginning of January for our Vision Sunday, you know discipleship is one of our four pillars. That's what we're all about here at CIT. This is why this is a really, really important message this morning. So what we want to do for you this morning is this. We want to show you these four men again. Peter, James, John, Andrew. I'm going to show you these four men again. And we want to help you to see there's a distinction between them and the rest of us. Okay? Because when Jesus called these four men, along with eight other men, they were going to become his apostles. And you have to understand that there's a big difference between apostles and us. So think about this. The apostles, although look what you see here. They left everything. They dropped their jobs. They walked away from their family. They walked away from all of their responsibilities. Just like think about that. When Jesus is calling the disciples, who eventually will become his apostles, he called them in a very particular way. Leave everything and follow me. Not only did he call them in that way, they also were with him throughout his entire ministry. They saw him on the cross. They know that he rose from the grave. They were eyewitnesses to the whole thing. They also wrote the New Testament. There's a difference between the disciples who became apostles and the other disciples that Jesus called. And we're going to spend the majority of our time this morning talking about that, because that's you and me. Jesus is calling us to be his disciples. Let's have a quick look at this quote from Richard Bauckham. We should not imagine that this specifically selected group of 12 were the only disciples of Jesus or the only ones that shared his ministry. Up to and including his final visit to Jerusalem, Jesus seems always to have had with him a group of disciples, male and female. If I could just please underscore, male and female, male and female, male and female. That was larger than the 12. And that's you and I, and that's what we're talking about this morning. Point out, they did not leave everything. I'll give you one example. At the end of the book of Matthew 27, we'll get there eventually, Jesus has died on the cross, and it says, when it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea. His name was Joseph, who also was a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. So we see two kinds of disciples in this book, those who left everything and those who remained in their occupation, in their families, and continued to serve Jesus and to be disciples of Jesus. That's us. So disciples, in case you're not clear, are learners. Disciples is not a category. Disciples are learners. Do we have any learners in here today? Some people don't want to learn anymore. Oh my goodness. I'm back at school now doing, back at U of T, and I'm learning to learn again. Oh my goodness, that is just, I don't know why I do these things to myself. But that's what a disciple is. A disciple is a learner. You're learning from Jesus. And I will mention this, because I think it's really, really important, because some of us disqualify ourselves from being disciples because we think a disciple is perfect. A disciple's not perfect. You're going to see as we go through Matthew, those disciples, whether they were apostles or not, they're not perfect, but they are learning. So let me just mention this. The kind of discipleship that Jesus calls us into is totally different from what we might think at times. Number one, it is not like an apprenticeship. In an apprenticeship, this is not me, but I was at chef school at one point in time. Please don't ask me to cook for you. That's not going to happen. Okay? But when I was apprenticing as a chef, there was a master chef. And that master chef would make sure that I presented things in a certain way, cooked things in a certain way, did things exactly the way that he knew a certain thing should be done. But discipleship is not like that. Because if I had a personal issue in my life, do you think the master chef was going to say, Ian, come on, put your head right here. Let's talk about it. Not a chance. That's not the relationship you have in an apprenticeship, in a master-apprenticeship relationship. You don't. So discipleship is not like that. So discipleship is simply a life relationship that you enter into with Jesus. And here's the interesting thing about that. Because you are his disciple, he has the right, and he has the authority to speak into all the areas of your life. Put your hand up if you're ready for that. Yeah, I know there's a lot of people who are like, I don't know, because he's, you know what he's going to talk, you know what he's going to talk about? Because he, right? He's, you're in his discipleship program. He's going to say, you know, your marriage. And you're going to go, ah, that hurts. And he's going to say, you know, actually, I shouldn't be on this side. I should be on this side for this one. Your sex life. And you're going to be like, hey, wait. You don't have the right to talk to me about my sex life. And he does, and he's going to do it. So you better get ready. When we get into chapter 5, 6, 7, it's coming. If you're a disciple of Jesus, he's speaking into your life. He's not just giving you skills and giving you advice. He's speaking into your life to make you a disciple. He gave his life for you to be a Christian, but he's not interested in you just stopping there. He wants to affect every part of your life. And then not only you get affected, but you begin to help other people as well. He's going to talk into those areas. He's going to talk into the way that you... Okay, now I can go back to this side of the room. He's going to talk to you about the way you respond to your parents. No amen from that side of the room. That's very interesting. But that's who, if you're a disciple of Jesus, that's where he's going. He's going to say, hey, look, the relationships that you have, they, the way, your motives and things like that, they need to get worked upon. So he's going to speak into all areas of your life. Another thing that you should know, because we see such a dramatic call from these four brothers, just know that Jesus' call to you to be his disciple doesn't necessarily have to go like that. Let's see a quick quote here from N.T. Wright. He says, sometimes the call from Jesus comes slowly, starting with a faint murmur and growing until we can no longer ignore it. Sometimes he calls people as suddenly and dramatically as he called Peter. By whatever means and whatever pace, you will know Jesus has a way of getting through. So if you're here this morning struggling, you're thinking, Ian, I don't know. I mean, have I been called? Listen inwardly to what is going on. Believe me, you, if you're a Christian, you are being called. You are being called because he doesn't want you to just remain in this, you know, everything, it's all about me. He wants you to be one of his disciples. Discipleship, as you're getting this, you should be getting this morning, is a relationship. And it's an ongoing relationship. Our brother Dell is not here this morning. But here's one thing. I asked him, because I know that he went through something very specific when he was a young man. Of following Jesus. You notice the first thing that he says to these four brothers is, follow who?
Me.
Yeah, follow me. It's relationship we're talking about here. So Dell wrote something out very, very briefly. Look at this. In 1971, I attended a church meeting in Toronto. I was so attracted by what I saw, and I desperately wanted to experience the joy of the Lord that was present there. I distinctly remember an inner voice. Do you really want this? Do you know what this will cost? Do you know what you will have to give up if you want this? I desperately wanted it, said Dell. I was a country boy. He's living out in Elmira. I was a country boy who loved the country and never expected to even be in a small city, let alone Toronto. But that inner call was so overwhelming and I couldn't resist it. So at 16 years old, I left my family, I left the farm, and I went to live in Toronto, downtown Toronto. That is 1970 Yonge Dundas Square. Things have changed, right? What was Dell responding to? Follow me, Dell. Follow me from the farm. Follow me to the big city. It doesn't seem like that should be something we're doing, but that's exactly what Jesus is saying. And maybe that's different for you. Maybe you're not a farm boy. But God is still coming to you and he's saying, follow me. Follow me. And if you're going to be a disciple of Jesus, this next word I'm going to say to you is critical for you. Trust. Trust. You must have a mindset of trust. And so let me just give you a little bit of an idea of how it goes. Jesus is going to call you. That inner voice that Del mentioned, Jesus is going to call. You are going to hear. He is, believe me, he's going to make it clear. It's me who's calling you. Now you have to decide what you're going to do. Will you trust him and will you take a step? And that's pretty much the process. And you know what? It just keeps going. It doesn't stop. It's not like, okay, Jesus called me one day and that's it. I've been called and I'm just following him according to the way he called me. It doesn't work that way. That's the beginning of something, but that is not the end. You're going to have this, he's calling, you're hearing, you're trusting, you're taking a step. It's going to be repeated over and over again throughout your life because you're a disciple. Notice also what it says in that statement to these four brothers. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men and women. What is that? Do you know what that is? You see, you're thinking, yeah, I get it. I know, because I know the rest of the story. But put yourself in those brothers' spots at that moment. They're hearing, I'm going to make you fishers of men and women. What is that? There is something about the call. There's something about the call that is attractive because we're following Jesus. There's something about the call we just don't get, but we follow anyway. Are you one of those people who has to know every little detail? I'm looking at a very particular person right now. Are you one of those people who just has to know every step, what it's all going to... You're not going to get that with Jesus as a disciple. You're going to get little by little. Do you think Del Martin left the farm at 16 years old, knew that one day he was going to give his entire life to Jesus and serve him for the rest of his life? Not a chance. Little by little. There's certain things you're not going to know. And you just got to be okay. And that's why I said this word is critical. Trust. Do you trust him? You got to trust the one who's discipling you. You got to trust the one you're learning from. Otherwise, you can't be their disciple. Respond as you can, based upon what you understand. You're going to see this as we go through the book of Matthew, but I just wanted to highlight it for you with an experience that I had. Some of you may remember, I've said this before, that when I first went to get my teaching degree, I made a bargain with the Lord. I'm not proud of it, but I did. I said, Lord, if you get me into teacher's college, I promise I will serve you for 5 years. And I got in. So I went through teacher's college, got my degree and everything. And remember I told you a little while ago, couldn't get a job? Well, there's a reason why I couldn't get a job. Because I made a bargain with God. And I said, if you get me into teacher's college, I'm going to serve you for 5 years. And then I said, you're right, I need to serve you for 5 years. So I found a way, and that was not simple either. We began to serve. But as the 5 years were coming to a close, things got interesting again. Because I had a choice now, right? I could walk away, and I could go and be a teacher, because I really, really wanted to be a teacher, and my wife paid a high price for me to be a teacher. And she was like, yeah, go be a teacher. And I wanted to be a teacher. And yet there was a huge ache in my heart because I'm like, I feel God calling me a different way. Logic is telling me go this way. Do you know the kind of retirement package that teachers get? Don't bow down now, Lisa. Do you know the kind of retirement packages that I get? There's a bit of a difference. There's a lot of uncertainty in following as a disciple. And so, I tell you, I was in the United States when this was happening, and I was pretty much alone in this church building, and I was like pacing. And I'm like, you know, there's like a lot of negotiating going on. The call of the Lord is on my heart and on my life, and I'm like, ah. And I knew that I just wanted to be faithful to what God was calling me to, but I was having such a difficult time. And there were a lot of tears. And there was times that I was just on my knees praying and asking the Lord for his help, because I knew this was going to be a massive decision. And at one amazing moment, I just said, God, if you're calling me to serve you for the rest of my life, I'm in. I'm all in. And at that point, it was done. It was decided. Now, is that going to all come the way that I think, is that the way I'm going to spend the rest of my life? I don't know that, but I do know this. The Lord has never said anything different to me. And so I just continue to serve in that way. And I hope that that is somewhat helpful for you, because respond as you are, where you're at, however you understand at this moment, respond. Don't think it out down the road. Just respond as you are and as you understand. I guarantee you, your understanding of Jesus is going to increase. And he's going to ask for new responses at that time. That's discipleship. Has Jesus shown you more of who he is? Think about when you first got saved, and think about where you are now. He's surely shown you a whole lot more of who he is. And he's calling you to new things. And my question to you is, have you adjusted? Have you adjusted? Or are you still in that initial step of obedience and calling? Are you just still there? Based on that understanding, because the understanding has changed, and he's asking for deeper commitment. He's asking for more commitment from you as one of his disciples. If you have seen more of who he is and you have responded to him, I guarantee you there's a fresh appreciation and a vibrancy in your relationship with him. But if you're still in that initial step of the call, and he's shown you more and he's calling more, and you're still hanging back in the first, I'm pretty sure your life is either stagnating or stale. And just know this, that's not where he wants you to be. He wants you to continue to take steps of trust with him. So I would just appeal to you this morning, as a fellow disciple who's gone through this, respond to him. If you hear him saying this morning, follow me, respond. Respond afresh. And maybe it's like, Ian, I'm not sure that I can do it. Just say, Lord, forgive me for not following you. Because we do have these trip ups every so often. I want to follow you and I want to be your disciple. And even if you need to say, help me to follow you. It's a simple prayer, isn't it? But it's a good prayer. It's a good prayer. We started out with this proverb, remember? Give a man a fish, and you feed him for a day. Teach a man to fish, and you feed him for a lifetime. Are you in your Christian life just being fed? Because God wants to teach you to fish. God's got a lot of fishing poles. He's saying, who wants it? It's time to fish. And you just see in what is happening here at our church. Are you encouraged by all the different people you're seeing on this stage recently? Are you encouraged by the cafe? Are you encouraged by all the different things? This is people hearing the call of God and stepping into that. Do you think they know exactly what they're doing? I'll tell you, my dear wife, I'm going to expose her. She was terrified. And this is a person who has no issue being in front of people. But she heard the call of God to try and be a host. And she's like, ah. Blake, is it easy?
No.
Thank you. Are you back there, my dear wife? You are. Was it easy?
No,
it was not easy. But don't you appreciate someone saying, I want to be a fisher? Right? Hey, Jesus is holding out a pole for Blake and he's saying, Blake, go fish. And Blake's like, should I? Is that where it went? I bet, because that's where it went for me too. You see the pole hanging out there and you're like, should I take it? And you're like, I kind of want to take it, but I really don't want to take it. Because I like being fed all the time. Jesus is saying, no, my disciples, you got to take the pole. You got to learn how to fish. And so maybe the Lord this morning is speaking to you about new commitments or firming up some commitments you've kind of let go of. Just give you a couple of ideas. Maybe it's to join one of the service teams. Maybe it's to join a community group. Every week we're talking about community groups, and you keep seeing it, you keep hearing it, and so far you haven't taken the step. Why? Come on. Like, there's no reason. You got a million reasons, I know, but there's really no reason. The reason is, oh, I just kind of like it the way it is. You're missing something. Disciples take the pole. Disciples take more steps. You gotta do those kinds of things. And maybe for you, it's the commitment that God is calling to you about is partnering with us financially. Maybe it's just something you haven't been that firm on, and you say, you know what? The Lord has been speaking to me about this for a while, and I am now going to do it. Just take the step. Hear his voice. Trust him and take the step with him. One final thing I'll mention to you. Next week, we have baptisms. At this point, we have a number of people who are being baptized. You know, it's very interesting. Baptism is the first real step you take in discipleship. Because you've been saved. But Jesus has this call on your life, get in the water, be identified with me in my death and my resurrection. And some of you, I know you've been struggling with this for a while. Next weekend is our baptism time, 10 o'clock next week. If you, we've given you two messages already in this series about baptism. If it's your time, stop fighting. Just say, Jesus, I hear your call. And I'm going to talk to Bob, I'm going to talk to Ian, I'm going to talk to Nigel, and we're going to get this done. Amen?
Amen.
Be a disciple of Jesus. Blake, are you ready?
Sure.
All right.
I'm ready. That, Ian, really resonated with me. It could have actually been sort of my biography. scary. I could say a lot of things, but I'm just going to talk briefly about baptism. A few months ago, I was baptized here. But leading up to that, thank you. It was good. leading up to that, I resisted because I was baptized as a baby and I grew up in a church and I went to Sunday school and I was confirmed into that church and I thought that was it. I didn't need anything else. But what I needed was God's help in my life. And I realized that I needed to ask God for his help, and I needed to do that through baptism, to give myself to him and receive his help. So that's what I decided to do. And I'll tell you the experience when I got in the baptismal water and Nigel and Shirley were praying for me, the Spirit just poured down on me. Tears started running from my eyes. My body was shaking. I was trembling. I went into that water and I came up and I felt a peace. And I know from that day that I'm much closer to God and he is working on me and in me now like never before. So if you've ever been thinking about it, as Ian says, take the plunge. We're going to wrap up. Just a reminder, if you want to get connected, seek out somebody with a Connect lanyard or just talk to your neighbor and they will get you to the right person. Thank you very much for coming, everybody. It's been a wonderful day, and have a great week.